Cobra!
This conversation is an excuse for
Cobra!
A couple of friends to get together and
Cobra!
Okay, wait.
Cobra!
Oh.
Cobra!
All right, it's Cobra Convergence Month, and it's taking over our conversation.
Cobra!
There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. Cobra Convergence has spread far and wide. This is the Order of Cobra Convergence Battle.
Cobra!
This year for Cobra Convergence 8, I was unavailable. So Joel and Greg jumped in with a great episode. I really enjoy their conversation and wish I had been there, but truly, I would have had nothing to give. I'm prefacing all this because there is an echo to Joel's audio. We're aware of it. We're working to fix it. And like any good person who's going to take responsibility, we're of course laying all the blame on Greg. So here are Joel and Greg for Cobra Convergence 8.
We are here.
It's nice to not have to worry about my
We are here with a very special Cobra Convergence 8 Order of Battle episode with me, Joel, and a special guest, Greg, from Anything Joe's.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to our journey. Hold on a second. Sorry.
You have to be careful because my co-host initiative does kick in and I will start to take over subconsciously without realizing it.
Life has been crazy. We've had some scheduling conflicts, but we wanted to stay on schedule. So we pulled some strings. I called in the favors, called in the big dog. We've got Greg. From what I understand, the topic of Cobra Convergence 8 is leadership challenge or challenge for leadership. HCC released a video in December, basically, you know, being like Cobra Commander has run Cobra forever. Who could step up and who could take over? And I've spent a couple of weeks trying to think of something that wasn't maybe the obvious, you know, Serpentor, Destro, et cetera, like, you know, the ones that everyone's immediately going to go to. And I recently built the Plague from the Devil's Due era America Elite storyline. And it got me thinking, the Plague is a pretty good team to possibly step up and overthrow Cobra. You know, I put some thought into it. I finally finished reading the 12-issue World War III comic series. It only took me like 4 months to digitally read 12 comics. So I guess before I continue to monologue, Greg, what is your immediate reaction to the play?
The World War III story arc that you're talking about is probably one of my all-time favorite. It's like maybe the best story that nobody's read, I feel like, because it's the conclusion of that run. It's got a lot of like deep cuts in it. It's really one of the only times that the Plague as a team is shown kind of in action. And the story, without getting too much into the like weeds of WW3, the Plague is like a very functional part of this whole operation. They're doing stuff both together and apart, like sabotage wise, that is throwing everything like kind of like this big plot to take over into action. So it shows them as an incredibly competent team, at least some members of it. I love the Plague. Now, as I think one of the things we'll have to talk about as we kind of look at each character is who's the figurehead? Like if there's a Cobra Commander, who is the, if the Plague is the leader, who's the leader of the leaders?
I believe in the story, Guillotine is the leader of the Plague.
Do you agree with that assessment?
As you've just said, they don't really show up a lot, even in this 12 arc.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they had more of a story. And he's the one calling the shots. He's the one giving orders. He's the one directly communicating with Cobra Commander. I believe his file card indicates that he's the leader. If I was a professional podcaster, I would have had it ready to go. But hey, I don't.
Whoops.
I know when I pitched this to you a couple days ago, I believe your initial reaction was like, those two-bit mercenaries, why would you say that?
Hey, sorry. This is going to be so much fun for Jason to edit. I do have the Guillotine file card here, and it does not only list him as Plague Trooper Commander, but the very first line says, it takes a truly sinister individual to lead the Plague Trooper forces, and Guillotine is just the person for the job. So, yes, just to confirm, they intended him to be the leader. I can't say that I ever really knew that, and I am a big fan of the Plague, despite their, like, they don't have a lot of traction in the action figure world, but as a, I think they're awesome.
I found out about the plague through the FSS, through Blackout, and then later Guillotine and Munition. And I was immediately like, what the hell is this? This is sweet. You do a lot of digging on the internet. There isn't much.
Yeah.
And then when you were nice enough to send me a link to read the comics digitally, you find out that there's not even a lot in the comic panels either. But I like the idea that they are, well, first off, they're a team of 13. Coincidentally, they're supposed to be Cobra's version, sort of the OG 13.
I've never put that together before. That you think they would have used guys that had names and not Skycreeper or whatever.
Before we get into maybe my bigger theory, I'm going to run down the list of 13.
Okay.
So we have Blackout, who is a sniper, and he was a former Joe that defected to Cobra. We have Guillotine, who we've just talked about, who is a former Eel, who is the commander. We have Bayonet, who is a snow serpent. We have Body Bags, who's a range viper. Gallows, saw viper. Grimskull, sand viper. Incision was a night creeper. Infrared, crimson guard. Interrogator. Munitia. Vanguard, who I believe was a new character specifically for this story. Vector, who is a laser viper, and Velocity, who is an AVAC. On the Joe Wiki page, it says that there was a Skycreeper and Ripit were under consideration, but they failed the evaluation. And they don't mention those guys at all in the World War III storyline.
I can actually speak to that. So there's a, I don't know what it's included in, but in one of the trade paperbacks, it's collected. And basically, it's a little story leading up to WW3. And in that story, the plague has been sent to kidnap Destro and Baroness's child, because that's part of the story. They give Destro's kid back, and Destro gives them control of Mars. Anyway, the plague is sent there, and Skycreeper and Ripit are on the team. And when they find the baby, Blackout's like, all right, this is our mission. And Ripit and Skycreeper are both like, a baby, I'm not sure about this. Well, at the end of the story, Cobra Commander's like, did you get the missions? And Blackout's like, yeah, we got the baby. And the secondary objective? Yes, we were testing everybody. These two failed and they kill them both. So that's why they were considered, but didn't make the cut.
I love that you have that knowledge because I was like, I just read the 12 issues. I wanted to bring it up because I think it's cool. So my big pitch, and I'm really excited to kind of get into it with you. And the reason that when this light bulb went off, I was like, who better to get the troops to turn against Cobra Commander and take over than the troops? Because these are all guys in Gale that are from the ranks. They're all specialty Vipers that were the best of the best. So it's like, in my opinion, you know, like the range Vipers, the night creepers, the laser Vipers, all these troops are more likely to get behind one of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they all don't perform that well in the actual story. So we're going to put the story continuity on pause and just talk about the plague as a theory.
Okay.
And they do also display some, I mean, they're giving the Joes a run for their money in a serious way in these 12 issues. Where I landed on this kind of working for what I believe the theme for Cobra Convergence is like, who better to get the numbers than the guys who are the numbers?
Yeah, I can see that. I can build off that a little bit. So let's think about it like this. If we are going to throw out the plague, like what we actually kind of know about them, and I'm going to throw out Guillotine as the leader as part of that, let's build it back from the ground up. We've got troopers that are basically seeding dissent amongst their peers, Range Viper, Saw Viper, Sand Viper. I don't know if Infrared, the Crimson Guard, is also a Fred 7, but if he was, that would also, you know, I assume Fred's like other Freds.
Let's say that he is. Let's say that he's a Fred, and the Laser Viper is an everyman Lazy Viper. You know, like everybody is just one of the team.
Which means they would have a friendly ear basically with other people on the team. And I know with Cobra rules, maybe they didn't climb the ladder and make a lot of friends, but let's assume they're at least respected amongst their peers. So they do kind of look up to, hey, I'm a Range Viper. I want to be as good a Range Viper as that guy. Anyway, what I'm building to is the top of the pyramid would be Interrogator. not only one of the only established characters, the only vintage character that's made the jump here, he's the perfect person to teach these people how to see dissent amongst their own to convert them to his cause.
And not to mention, interrogator specialty is like warping your mind.
Exactly. Right. He's like, he's actually kind of a perfect Cobra Commander candidate when you think about it, because that's all Cobra Commander is doing, is selling the dream to the American public for recruits.
I mean, I think it's funny because I was going to stick with the guillotine as the leader just because I think he's sweet. But what's funny is I'm so fresh from reading this, and I know that you skimmed through it, you know, as a favor to record this. He, like, interrogator is like outside of a group shot. He's in like two panels, and in one of them, he's like running down the alley with a kid.
Yeah, so Interrogator's big claim in the story is weird, but he's, before they all kind of unite, Interrogator's, they're all doing little things, like Blackout's on a sub, sabotaging it, and Interrogator's the guy that captures Duke, and he's like questioning him, he's got his dad held hostage. Yeah, and so there is some cool, like, I think it's one of the first times we ever see him take his helmet off, because he goes in and talks to his dad in like a military suit. I like all of that. That all that like psychological stuff is great. But yes, you're right. He's not an action. I mean, I guess in the vein of Cobra Commander, he's not a big action guy. He's more like not to draw back to before we were recording, but he makes me think of like an Apocalypse. He's like, I don't ever fight. I've got horsemen for that. I'm too important.
But I also think like if we're going based on file cards, and if we're going on like the real interrogator from the, you know, original line, like he is absolutely the perfect leader of the plague and also the perfect figurehead, because Guillotine would still be the man with the boots on the ground.
Yeah. He could be like the Duke of the, you know, or he'll be the new Destro or whatever. Guillotine has always come across as, and this is because they didn't give him sleeves, as the like muscle, I guess, in my mind at least.
I'm going to test a little bit more of your knowledge, because if I'm remembering from file cards or something I read on the internet, I believe Munitia, Blackout, and Firefly were part of their own little sub-team.
I don't know that for sure. Yeah, Firefly is definitely mentioned on Munitia's file card. Often found in the company, is what it says.
I believe I read something, and by all means, if anybody wants to fact check and find it, or we'll probably find it by the end of this recording, but... And I say this because when I was deep diving to build my plague figures, I, in the back of my mind, was like, I need to build a Skycreeper, I need to build a Rippet, and I need to build a Firefly in black garb to complete the team. I'm bringing this up to say that, like, if the three of those Cobra operatives were part of a special demolitions team, they could also pull Firefly into the mix of overthrowing Cobra.
Yeah, you know, Firefly is kind of one of the few guys that hasn't really had a shot at the throne, other than in the old Marvel run. He was kind of the one man left standing on Cobra Island for a while. But yeah, he's never really had that ascension. It is interesting that Firefly is mentioned on the card. I wonder if there was a Firefly figure that came out this year and they just felt like, buy him too. It's not complete if you don't buy all three of them. That's the only reason I can think of why they just...
I think if you read the modern file card for the second club Munitia figure, the modern build, I think they elaborate on the team.
Oh, really?
That has to be where I'm getting this intel from, because I didn't make it up, and I definitely did not read I didn't read the Devil's Due like run. It would make sense if you're finding it on the DTC card that there has to be something, you know, some kernel of truth in it.
It's just unusual to me to see him thrown in there. I do think I remember reading that at one point. Maybe I had seen somebody that made a custom along that vein that was also kind of on your wavelength. I've never really considered Firefly to be part of the plague, but it's not far-fetched. He would also be a perfectly logical candidate as a leader, quite frankly.
So it was not the plague. I think they had another name for it, or maybe it didn't have a name, but they were just like a special...
Oh, I got it. I've got it right here.
Okay, perfect.
Cobra allowed her the opportunity to be part of the HISS, the Hierarchy of Infiltration, Stealth, and Sabotage, which I've never heard. the only other thing I can think of that might be relative to that is there's a Collector's Club comic that came out in 2009. It's themed around this wave, and it has Munitia prominently featured on the cover, but I have not read that in 10 years at least. But it could be mentioned in that.
Does it list who else is in HISS?
Yeah, Firefly and Blackout. Firefly, Blackout, Munitia.
So yeah, that's so I'm not crazy. And that's the file card from the second FSS figure. And again, it kind of all leads into my little idea that the guys who are the Army of Cobra have the best chance of getting the Army of Cobra to turn against Cobra Command.
Yeah, I think that's a solid pitch, quite frankly. I think that would be a great story.
I know it won't happen, but like, I think it would be incredible if the plague was brought back in the Energon.
I don't think anything's impossible at this point. They've already shown that they're willing to use, like, not only deep cuts, but they can mess with the mythology a little bit. And that's what we're doing right now, so fair game.
I just think that with the current Energon Universe team not being afraid to dive into, like, new sides of Cobra Law, and, like, I mean, the Dreadnoughts were crazy, and Cobra Commander's crazy in his art. I just think that the Plague could really do well in a more sci-fi universe like the Energon universe, because America's Elite was pretty grounded in reality. I mean, they were going to real places. They were talking about real conflict. We were talking about before the record, and I don't want to go too far into the weeds on the comics, because I think, you know, we might be able to cover that in another time. But the ending of America's Elite did not match the tone of the rest of the book, which, you know, it's a comic, so I don't need things to be whatever. But I do think that the Plague has a ton of potential, and it's like, I don't know, you know, it's like we get to see specialty Vipers like with a voice. You know, we don't normally get that. I mean, outside of the Saw Viper that Larry had killed, you know, 60% of the Chacho team in the original run, we don't really get a lot of the specialty Vipers having, you know, personality.
Yeah, the other interesting thing about WW3 is to draw on that is that they're, even though he's not in the Plague, there's a Range Viper that's also like a specialty like Skullbuster. So I do think that those characters that get a little bit of like spotlight, I wish that would be developed more. I mean, we're not quite diving into characters yet, but there's so many characters in the Plague that are underdeveloped. Where they're like, you're a snow serpent. Wear a black snow serpent suit. Your name is, you know, Grim Skull or something that doesn't like correlate to it at all.
Bayonet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I know the panel you're talking about where it shows a Range Viper in standard colors, but I think that's supposed to be Body Bags, the Range Viper of the team. I think he might have just been colored wrong. Or maybe it was a flashback to before the Plague was formed.
Maybe. I just feel like that they're about half of the team really needs a glow up. Like, they need to be really, really developed.
I think, in all honesty, I think the entire team, like, I think they could, you could do not a 5-issue arc on every single one of the 13, but you could pair off like 3 or 4 kind of going through their training. And I mean, I would be all for that. I mean, obviously, I'm the one who pitched this ridiculous idea that's not so ridiculous, but.
Have you ever read that Hearts and Minds miniseries? That has a very similar, like, it focuses on 2 characters in each story, and it's like a 5-part thing. That would be a perfect format for that, I think.
Is this IDW or?
Yes, it's IDW.
No, I have not read it. I would like to read it. I am very open about how out of the comic world I was for basically ever.
There's a ton of stuff that happened in between 155 and 300, basically.
Do we roll into toys, or do you have anything else, I guess, to add? I mean, I've definitely done a lot of yapping here.
I don't think I have anything else. I mean, I'm just kind of rolling with whatever you're throwing out right now, basically.
I'll feed to your fans a little bit. As we know, Greg is all about the individual character. He's all about the unique and underdog. So when you were reading this book back when it came out, because I know that you did. Do you have any sort of memory of like what your reaction was to seeing like a Vanguard or like a, you know, Rourke was on the Joe team that was kind of like the Vanguard version? And Vanguard was the new Cobra character with the night vision goggles that didn't wear a mask.
Yeah, I didn't have a tremendous reaction to a lot of these characters, but there's some characters that we had already known beforehand. I already talked about Interrogator. A character that has almost no usage and is a great character, has an awesome design. So I was excited to see that part with him. I know at this time, Blackout and to a certain degree, Munitia were already established characters because I think I had their figures at this point. And I loved Blackout because he had been featured in the comic previously. They had built his story up. So he was one of the few characters on the team that I already knew something about. And he's cool because he has history with the Joes.
Not only was he a G.I. Joe, he's a brother to Barrel Roll and Bomb Strike.
Yes, yeah. And I like that dynamic, right? Because we've never really seen a Joe go bad. And so I think he's an awesome character because of that.
I got really excited building these characters because I did complete the team. I have a full custom run of everybody but Skycreeper and Ripit. And apparently Firefly for this collection. I am sad in a way that, like, I finally finished reading World War III, which is, besides this issue you talked about with Skycreeper and Ripit, I have essentially seen all of the media featuring the play.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a bummer that, you know, I understand it was the course of a year because it was 12 comics, but, like, you know, when you read it in one shot, it kind of goes by pretty fast.
Yeah. You know, it's always exciting to see characters that you love, like, pop up like that. But though, instead of looking at it like that, I'm trying to take an optimistic look to it, which is what I have to do with all these little characters, and that there's plenty of room for people like me and you to develop them on our own. Like, who's to say that they're not like the way we just laid them out? This 12 issue comic can contradict us. So I do like having that canvas to just kind of be like, make your own character, because that's something I really enjoy doing.
I mean, you and I have talked about this, honestly, a pretty embarrassing amount of time about how just, like, we are desperate to have more Cobra characters that can have story.
Yes, that have a unique name. You know what I mean?
I mean, you and I often talk about my issues with army building and, you know, like, doing what I do, but it's like, you need somebody to lead the troops.
Yes, you know? I agree. Like,
kind of reflecting back now in this moment, it's interesting to think that I have two named Range Viper characters, because we have Skullbuster, who is deemed a leader, and now we have Body Bags.
That's a bad name. Skullbuster, awesome name. Body Bags, pretty tough. It's,
yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, that I will say this, if I had any critique on the comic, it's like, they did pretty decent kind of putting the real, like, a more hard edge on the real world side of things, but they could have toned down, like, the rock on hand names for the play.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Grim Skull, we got Gallows, we got Body Bags.
Welcome to Nickelback's favorite killers. We got Body Bags, we got Grim Skull.
But that's, like, funny because in the same time we have Incision, which kind of walks the fence, but you have, you know, Vector and Velocity. Infrared, like, those are all, like, leaning into the sci-fi, but yeah, we have, you know, Bayonet, Body Bags, Gallows, Grim Skull.
Yeah, I'm about 50-50 on it. Sometimes some of them I'm like, oh, all right, you get a pass. But naming, like, a Crimson Guard Infrared, or, like, the Night Creeper is called Incision, I guess, because he makes perfect, like, sword strokes. I would be like, I would hear Incision and go, oh, it's a Medi Viper. That's a unique choice. You know what I mean?
what sort of precise cutting can he do with that swirly sword?
That's how good he is. That's why he's the best of the best. He makes swirly swords go straight when they attacks.
Let's roll into our favorite topic, which is the toys.
Toys.
I'm going to read off the list of the new Sculpt Era O-Ring figures, and I'm going to let you have your say, and I'll chime in with my opinion on strictly visuals, because I don't own any of the O-Ring figures. But the DTC line produced Guillotine, Gallows, and Grimskull as a part of a six-pack with three Steel Brigade characters that actually had names. And one of them was a fan-one event. So it was like a collector had his likeness used.
I didn't know that. Does it say which one?
Yeah, if you read the file cards, it's all there. I think he's the one that's sleeveless. But then the Collectors Club in 2009 released an O-ring version of Munitia, which is interesting because the modern style of construction was introduced in 2007. So they kind of threw Munitia out there kind of as like a tie-in to the 2006 wave. But you own all of these DTC figures, right?
Yes, I bought this set in 2006 when it came out. And if you want me to dive right in, I'll just say that I don't have specific key memories for every single G.I. Joe thing I bought. But I do remember that I was very excited for this set because it was three of the Plague. And I thought, awesome, they're going to make them all. And you'll never see me disappointed to see a figure, a first time figure. I don't care who it is, if it's somebody that's never gotten a figure that's overdue, if they're making somebody new, like Wolf Spider in the Classified series, and they're just like, here's a new guy, I'm all about a new guy's first figure. So that was a big source of like motivation for this. Steel Brigade guys, don't care. But I was more than happy to buy all six to get these three. The only disappointment I feel about this line is that, besides the reuse, which is, I mean, the guy that's not Guillotine, they just were like, repaint Mortal Kombat. This, you're Scorpion and you're Sub-Zero. And they don't look anything like the characters they're supposed to look like. But, at this time, in 2006, we were just taking whatever, the scraps we could find on the floor. Because this was DTC, direct-to-consumer. We were not getting lots of G.I. Joes at all. So it was exciting to get anything. So yeah, I liked them. At the very least, I remember thinking these will be good placeholders until they come out with better ones. So we see how that weight's going. But yeah, I like this Guillotine a lot.
I have often said on my show, which this is, but, and you and I have talked about it, but the new sculpt era catches a lot of hate because the proportions are wonky and it was a change and all this. And I, overall, I agree with that. But I think, and I hope, you know, that when we look back at these things, because the new sculpt era was genuinely the G.I. Joe of my childhood. That's what was on the pegs. And I don't have any nostalgia for those toys. I have nostalgia for the character. But Guillotine is a prime example of them pushing the boundaries, but the technology was getting closer, but it just wasn't quite there yet. I mean, they're in the tail end, so his accessories are actually not that oversized, and they were actually good enough to only need a slight retooling to use for the FSS Guillotine that we got years later. But mm-hmm. The new sculpt era had a lot of incredible ideas that suffered from ambition and technology not being at the same point. You know, when I'm looking at this six pack, I see something, you know, that I like as a guy that did not know about Steel Brigade until modern collecting. I like having Steel Brigade figures that you pull the helmet off and they have names. There's three named characters that are also part of the Steel Brigade. And then later when I found out one of them is named after an actual fan, that's obviously sweet. I think the biggest disappointment would have to be that, you know, Grimskull and Gallows, who are two figures, you know, Gallows is a Saw Viper and Grimskull is the Sand Viper. The tooling existed for both of those figures in the DTC line. Like there is a DTC Saw Viper that has a really good removable helmet that comes in. I think it's black with a green visor. Because I have a couple that I bought for the helmets. So it's kind of like an odd choice to me. And I don't know the ins and outs. And if the club had their hand in DTC, then, you know, absolutely no one under the sun would have any idea why any decision was made. Because there's a lot of head scratchers.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing, whatever that figure is that they used and just did yellow paint and red paint. When seemingly they could have just used a Saw Viper and a Sand Viper because those two, like, they both existed in the new sculpt era. Because the Sand Viper is the new toy of the new sculpt era.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's impossible to know, especially now, what was going on. I have to assume there were some limitations on tooling. Even then, you would think they would have been, let's use a Saw Viper or the other guy and make two of them and we'll paint the other one dramatically different to look like it. This is a Snake Eyes body, like on both of them. And it's gray. So it really, if you have that Snake Eyes, you're like, oh, that looks a lot like a Snake Eyes. So that, yeah, that's a big bummer too. Again, it wouldn't bother me as much if there was another version of them, but they've been forgotten.
That leads us to the 2009 Munitia. So that isn't, I believe it's, I mean, you tell me. Is it like how much of that figure is new of that time?
It's the body of a Baroness from 2004, but it's mostly new. You can see, obviously you can look at the torso and see that's pretty strong Baroness, but everything else is new. That head, I feel like that head got reused, but I don't remember what. Because that it's got that weird, like, flat hair or something. It's very Baroness-esque.
It's one of those things where you don't know if it's like the do-rag headpiece or if it's hair. It's kind of got the Zartan.
Does Zartan wear a hood or is that hair? I will say this about this 2009 release, that I feel the same way about that guillotine. At the time, this figure looked and playability-wise was so much better than a lot of the other stuff we were getting. If you just stack this figure against other 2009 DTC figures, I think it's a big winner. I played with this figure a lot. I think Munitia is an awesome character, and I love her like Visor. So her and Guillotine, I thought, again, for the time, were very good figures in a sea of pretty mediocre ones. I played with Munitia for 5+ years. She was like a primary coper for me.
Why wouldn't she be? It's a new character. She's a cool design. I also love the Visor. I think they only slightly retooled that head for the modern modern build FSS figure. I do kind of wish that we would have got maybe a resculpt on like the do-rag flap or what, if it is hair, whatever is going on in the back of her head is, you know, pretty much the weakest point on that modern figure, but it's still a beautiful figure and it's still like, and we'll kind of roll over into the modern. All three of the modern figures were produced by the club. We had Blackout in 2013, Munitia in 2018, and Guillotine in 2017. I don't know why I did them out of order, but it doesn't really matter.
If you really want to do them out of order, we actually did not talk about Blackout V1, which is from 2003.
Oh my gosh. I was going to say,
Oh.
I also left Munitia out in my original Word document. So I guess I can turn this one back on you since you pointed out Munitia but left out Blackout. So let me ask you this. On the original Blackout,
yes,
from 2003, what color hair does he have?
It's like a really light brown.
So the FSS figure is red-haired, and in the comic, he's blonde.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I don't have a good copy of it here, but if I pull up the original Blackout V1 file card, I would swear that he has blonde hair too. So maybe it was a miscolor.
In the comic, he has blonde hair, and I can say this with confidence because I finished reading the issues about 2 hours ago. So I think I am going to swap out the head on my FSS figure with a blonde flat top hairdo instead of the orange flat top hairdo because I would rather have it be a little bit more comic accurate.
Yeah, and you're not missing anything. This head is not very good.
No, it sucks.
Yeah, he looks real goofy.
He looks like he kind of looks like an off-brand drill instructor with the hairdo. This Guillotine figure, when it got announced in 2016, 2017, whenever it previewed, it was one of the unique times where a lot of the people on the boards that I lurked on didn't have any idea who he was, and it was one of the rare times where 95 to 98% of the people were just like, I don't know who the hell this guy is, but he looks badass, and I can't wait to get him.
Hell yeah.
I know for a fact that you lurked the same message boards that I did, so like, when FSS stuff got announced, whew, it was a war zone on his tank.
Yes, so. Yes, it was. People got some... just stop me if you've heard this one before. G.I. Joe fan heads, heated opinion online.
But, so I bring that up to say that Guillotine pretty much immediately doubled in value and then is now one of the more expensive FSS figures of 2017. When I was building my team, I contemplated trying to buy a second Guillotine because he kind of lends himself to be a perfect incision figure because they're both sleeveless.
Yeah.
But then when I looked at the price of what Guillotine was selling for, I said, I'll just crack a torso and change some arms out because...
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now.
Yeah, it's way too much money to buy and pull a figure apart.
Welcome to the great world of FSS collecting.
I have a pretty strong connection to the three modern FSS Plague figures. I got Blackout and Barrel Roll for an insanely good deal as a duo from a guy selling his collection. I got a huge box of stuff, but specifically those two figures, I remember reading the file cards and realizing that they were brothers. And to me, I was like, I have to have these figures. Like, this is an awesome concept. I'll figure out more of their backstory once I get the figures in. And then I was heartbroken for years until I finally got a Bomb Strike, because she's a very valuable figure.
Yes, she is. More so now. That was that was before she was featured in the comic. And then, because, dude, it blew up once, because Larry was using her like every single month there for a while.
That's what happens with the Larry. What was happening with the Larry book at the time is whatever vehicle or whatever figure he threw in would just, especially if it was one of those forgotten era figures or characters. I genuinely do have this like really fond memory of these three Plague Troopers, because they really inspired me to want to learn more about this weird era of comics that like a lot of people just ignore. You know, I mean, it's like any other fandom, like, you know, people like, what is the book that has Shooter in it? Is it like, what do they call that? Is it like Origins, or there's a funny word?
Declassified.
Larry wrote that story, right?
Yeah.
So like, obviously that's why everyone accepts that into the canon, but you know, but it's like, I don't know. Like, if there's a cool toy and I can have some cool backstory to build on, like, I'm all about. The older I get and the farther I get into collecting, I find myself kind of searching out more of this, you know, like what can I find inspiration to make my, you know, make more figures of? Like, I don't want to create my own characters, but I want to build these figures that are kind of never made it in the modern and would also give us, like, I have 13, now I have a group of 13 named Cobras that all work together. And actually, they do something that a lot of G.I. Joe on both sides don't do, which is they look like they belong on the same team.
Yeah, they look like a subset that's actually legit.
Because, I mean, even within, like, Night Force and Tiger Force, like, there's all sorts of different patterns.
All colors, yes. And depending on what year it was made, who knows?
Sky Patrol, they all just kind of look... I guess, let me, you know, specifically speaking from the modern perspective, like, the Sky Patrol guys... kind of all do their own thing.
Yes. It's true across the board. Even the classified Python Patrol. Nope, that's not right. Not even consistent. Like, yeah, they've always had a problem with that. So you're right. I mean, black, and also like Easy Customs, they're just mostly wearing black. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be hard to put together.
It was actually, I thought of you a lot when I was building these customs, because I tried to not just do the easiest way out, which is like that Snake Eyes version 54 combat sweater.
You must be thinking of somebody else, because I will always take the easiest way.
No, so here's the thing, though, is you will take the easiest way when you're building it, but when you see it represented, because I remember a specific conversation with you where I was like, well, I can basically just use Snake Eyes, you know, 54 for everybody, and you're like, well, not every character is wearing that outfit in the comics, just so you know.
I try not to drill down on it too hard, but yeah.
I actually put a lot of work in to try and use as many unique all black bodies or dark gray bodies I could, just so that it felt a little bit more like they didn't give up as much of their identity of their past specialty. I will say this, if you Google, you know, G.I. Joe Plague Customs, or if you go to Joe Customs, like, I drew a lot of inspiration from a lot of customs online. Raids and Spoon did a really great team. I borrowed some of his ideas. And actually, at Joe Fest, I bought the final piece I needed for Vanguard for some 3D or some night vision goggles. I had bought some 3D printed night vision goggles from somebody in Australia, and they showed up, and they're pretty nice. They're like a weird, like, smoky clear color. So I was like, well, I'm going to have to paint them, I guess. But the thing for me that kind of, glad they were only a placeholder, was that whatever resin that they were 3D printed in is a little bit too thick. So like the top strap, if you don't have the night vision goggles pulled down over the eyes, it just sticks straight up and looks very odd, where the Spoon goggles are cast, so it's a little bit more flexible and you can kind of mold it down and it looks a little bit more, you know, a little bit more realistic instead of just goggles sitting on top of someone's head. But to kind of round it back into the beginning thing, it's like I have a group of 13 named Cobras that seemingly could get all of their former, you know, specialty Viper teammates to join them and just kind of throw Cobra Commander out.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect lineup, honestly. I think it could be developed just based on our conversations. Like, thinking about them mirroring the OG-13 has kind of got my wheels spinning a little bit, where I'm like, okay, I could build it out based on that concept and kind of give them a little bit more personality, basically. I like the plague a lot. I've always been a big fan of them. I'm surprised I don't actually have a custom set of them.
Well, we can exchange some photos later.
One thing at a time. Don't we have a Dawn figure to build?
Well, all right, man.
A good customizer always has several things on their plate that they're rotating around at any given time.
I guess I'll end my, you know, whatever pipeline dream segment on. When the club announced that they were going away, in my head, and I understand, you know, every fan, every collector has their own version of whatever. But when they announced, you know, their final year and, you know, it had been extended for 2 years and there was a lot of speculation on what they would end with. Would they finish this team? Would they finish that team?
How could they not make a Headman when they had a perfect mold for it?
Well, I believe the rumor mill was that was supposed to be a Headman. They ran out of time. Yeah, I mean, again, anybody's guess is as good as anybody's, but my first, and I mean this genuinely, this is not me fabricating a memory for the sake of a podcast episode, but my initial thought, how cool would it be if they did, it was a 15-figure box set, what if they did a true modern update of the OG-13 plus Cobra Commander, plus Cobra Trooper, plus Cobra Officer, because we did end up with very good versions of almost everybody. You know, Duke, I'm looking at you. We never got a proper, you know, proper definitive modern build Duke. All the ingredients were there. I mean, truly, we never got like, I love, you know, version 54 black turtleneck snake eyes, but that's not really what Commando Snake Eyes looks like. So my initial thought was like, well, if this box set would, you could think of the possibilities, right? The artwork on the front of that box set could have been like the, you know, the 82, any of the 82 poster art that they used for everything back then. You know, the add-on, you know, you could do the vamp, you could do the, like, everything's there. All the, it could have been a home run. And then, you know, I think about it and it's like at $45 a figure, $400-something for the box set, you know, you're going to have a lot of people that are like, yeah, I don't need another Snake Eyes, period. Exclamation point. Like, I'm all set. Like, doesn't matter if this one is like the end all be all, like, I don't need it. And then truly my second thought was like, well, damn, they have these three plague figures. We could bring the plague in. We could do some unique Steel Brigade. Cause I'm a Steel Brigade nut in the modern sense, having them be like the green shirts essentially. But then like I thought about those three DTC figures that had faces under the helmets and had a little bit of a unique, and that was what I kind of was hoping for. And it didn't happen. Spoiler alert, we got Slaughter's Marauders with no Sarge Slaughter.
Yeah, I forgot that was the last set. I would love to, dude. You and I are just kind of sit down. I know we have some modern talk to do, but I would love to just sit down and talk about just these FSS stuff, vinyl con stuff, trying to be a modern collector now when there's nothing almost there that's official on the plate, and still looking at these $150 figures that are just still maintaining their value. And it's like a weird missing piece of the collection. FSS collector is crazy.
It is. And it's, I have legitimately changed my scope on a lot of the figures that I swore I would never buy because they're so expensive and that builds are outdated and articulation this and blah, blah, blah. But there is one set. There's one set that I own literally nothing from, with one minor exception. And that is the final con year. I just was so bummed out with what was announced, and specifically because the Slaughter Marauders figures that they made did not match the Big Bad Toy Store exclusive 7-pack paint scheme.
I didn't know that.
And also, they redid Low Light. They redid it. It was just one of those things where I was like,
sorry, I'm so excited to talk about it. I was like, so that's exactly why I passed on it, right? Another bunch of repaints. I'm a unique character guy. I went into it. I was not able to go to any of these conventions. You're talking about a dude that from day one was like, I got to figure out how to buy them secondhand. And when you're doing that, I was like, I only want characters that they haven't put out before. So it was like, whoever that Sergeant Slaughter replacement was, Sergeant Slammer or whatever. And then they were like, hey, here's a hardball, a figure we've never had and we'll never have again. And so I was like, well, I got to have him in any color scheme. Sorry, I don't know. That was the one figure I had to have.
But to that point, when they announced Major Blood was in the Python Patrol, I got really excited because the 25th Major Blood has an arm that doesn't bend. And I was like, okay, the Python Patrol Major Blood has two functioning arms. Maybe we'll finally get...
You know?
And they did do one cool thing, which is they did a new head sculpt for Major Blood, which I thought was desperately needed. So when I say that I don't own anything from this convention, technically speaking, I do not. I own the replacement. When the club was going out of business, I bought the replacement headset so I could build my own Major Blood with that definitive head sculpt.
Nice.
To pump the brakes on going any further away from Cover Convergence than we already have done.
Sorry, I'm real good about the detour, baby. Good luck with this award salad, Jason.
me too. But I think in closing, I will, you know, double down. And for the fourth or fifth time, I'll say my same pitch again, which is in terms of challenging the leadership of Cobra, in my humble opinion, who better to do it than a collection of, I guess, 8 specialty Vipers that were pulled up and given code names and given a chance to actually be somebody, paired with Interrogator, Munitia, Blackout, and I guess Vanguard, a new guy. You know what I mean? Like, in my head, I'm envisioning these specialty troopers going back and being like, look, guys, in my closing argument, we'll say, let's take the Range Viper, right? What do we know about the Range Viper? They get dropped off, no communication, barely any equipment, and they're left to fend for themselves. And if you read the file card, every Range Viper should be slightly unique because they adapt their uniforms and they adapt their equipment from what they can steal and take from who they defeat or whatever they're doing. In my head, I'm like, well, it's got to be pretty easy for Body Bags to to go in and be like, hey, guys, we don't have to be just thrown off to the weeds anymore. We can still do the crazy stuff we do, but we can use, you know, Mars equipment and we can have rations and we can have support from the rest of Cobra.
I think the mentality there would be like, hey, I've found a better way, like a person that's going to treat us better and respect us for who we are.
Exactly.
I'll say that World War III, even though we're kind of moving away from that continuity, does establish a bit of a blueprint of these operatives can get big stuff done individually. So they're all pretty competent, which I think lends to that concept that they're all doing something in the organization that all goes towards a bigger threat of them kind of like doing overtaking it. I'd like to hear more about this. I think we could workshop this and it would be a pretty solid story. Like all ideas, I always am like, okay, well, off and running. Here we go. Story time.
So I'd like to say thanks again for, stepping up and helping me get this episode recorded, because I tried to do a solo pod and I deleted it already. So none of you will ever hear that, because I started off strong for about maybe 45 seconds. And then I was like, I'm talking to myself into a microphone. This is crazy.
I'm always happy to be here. I appreciate the invite.
And, I want to give a thanks to, you know, a thanks and I guess somewhat of a farewell to HCC. You know, I know he's stepping down from the channel. That doesn't mean he's stepping away as a person, but I'm saying farewell to the character of HCC as a YouTube personality, not farewell to, Brian as a human being.
Right. Good to clarify.
But, you know, also just like this Cobra Convergence has grown into an insane number of contributors. I mean, it from its inception, I mean, I don't need to do this because, you know, anybody can just go to the website and look at how much it's grown. But I've been very happy to be a part of it for a few years. And I'm happy that I was able to pull you in and rope you into our episode. And then now you still have to do your own episode. But
I'm going to get into as I'm next year. I'm going to be as in as many of them as possible. Every day you'll get to see me talking about something Cobra related. But,
all right. Well, thanks again. And this is a fun one.
Thanks, everyone.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.